because you can handle the truth.
Standing there, I thought I was only dreaming. Yeah, I kissed you then, then once again.
Welcome to Healing with Dr. Daniels. It is Sunday, June 3rd. How amazing is that? Time flies when you're having fun. We're just going to say hello to our Facebook people. There we go. Facebook, hello. All right, so the topic of today's show is how to tell if a disease is imaginary. So how is it real and how is it imaginary? What's fake? What's not? What is a disease? This is actually pretty complicated because there are a lot of things in medicine that are not diseases. One thing that really impressed me when I was in medical school is that there was just not enough work. Everyone showing up who was sick, they were all 65 or over. And there just weren't that many people in that age group, you know, that would, you know, keep us youngsters busy. So that was a problem. And I'm sitting here looking at this situation, and the question is, all right, I'm going to get this degree, I'm going to graduate. Where are the patients coming from? Because the only sick people are over 65. So the first thing that came to my mind was, oh, well, obviously this is a part-time job. Or I have to go to a place where there aren't very many doctors. Because there were so few patients that there were actually times when the hospital, teaching hospital, was just not very busy. What I did not count on was the invention of diseases. What I did not count on was the active disease manufacturing machinery. So as a medical student, I did not appreciate this, or I was not aware of it. And so, of course, I was a little bit anxious. And so I was, of course, unnecessarily concerned. The first thing, in order to understand what's an imaginary disease, you have to understand how real diseases were defined. And so the question then is, how does superstition, voodoo, the high priestess, how does that differ from objective evidence of disease? We're not treating imaginary stuff. We know what we know. There's been research. This has been verified. What does that look like? What is verification? What is substantiation? How do you know? And so the way to understand how you know a disease exists is to, you know, what is the scientific definition of disease? Well, there's a couple of things. First, you got to have symptoms. No symptom, no disease. So you got to have symptoms. The next thing you have, in other words, the person has to say, I feel this, I feel that, this is happening in my body, or I'm not able to do this, or I'm not able to do that. So that is a requirement of disease. So if there are no symptoms, guess what? Chances are good, there's no disease. Next thing is physical findings. So in other words, when a person comes to a doctor and says, oh, my head hurts, the doctor needs to then have some physical evidence of the disease. What does that mean? That means you can look and see that there's a boil, or there's a spot there. Or you can touch a place and it's painful or tender. Now, that's a little kind of a soft sign because sometimes people can pretend there's pain when there's not, but that's one sign. And so that means a physical exam. So that means you look, you touch something, you can listen, maybe you can listen to the lungs and hear a rattle. So physical findings are things that the healer, or we'll call it a doctor, can perceive with one of their five senses, and not the sixth sense. When you get to the sixth sense, that's where you get into voodoo, spiritualism, whatever, and there's what they call inter-observer variation. That means one person can see it, like some people can see visions, and other people, well, can't see it. So physical findings is what the healer can perceive with the five senses. That means either you can smell it, there's an odor, you can see it, there's something visual, the doctor can actually feel it, like maybe the person has heat coming out of their body or heat coming from a boil. And there's something you can hear, like I said, the chest rattle. So those are the five senses that the healer can perceive. Next, and this is big, there's a test. And a test is an objective test. Maybe it's an x-ray. Maybe it's measuring the velocity of air coming in and out of the lungs of the person breathes. Maybe it's putting the person on the scale and seeing that their weight has dropped 10 pounds from the last time you saw them. But some type of test, we'll call it objective measure. So there's that. Then you need a cause, like cause and effect. So a person can feel lousy, but maybe the perceived cause might not be the right cause. For example, someone might have Lyme disease and feel sick, but did the Lyme cause the disease? or more precisely, did the Lyme cause the symptoms? So that's important. So cause and effect, we'll call that, we can call it research. We can call it historical evidence of causality. And then the fifth thing you need to have, which is my favorite, is evidence that the proposed intervention is going to alleviate the symptoms, the physical findings, and the test. That would be evidence that therapy is effective. And when we say symptoms, I think we can put a slash there. Quality of life. So in other words, if a drug relieves one symptom but causes 10 more, then we have to question just how effective that really was. So these are things you need to have a disease. So if there's no symptoms, no physical findings, no test, no cause and effect, you can just stop right there. And so in my book, if there's no symptoms, there's no physical findings, and there's no objective measure, then no disease. You have no disease. And then evidence therapy is effective. Now, the cause and effect is interesting because you can have symptoms. You can have physical findings. You may even have a test. That's not normal. But there is no evidence that the finding on the test has anything whatever to do with the symptoms. And this is where a lot of things fall apart. And so, yes, there are people who are sick. Yes, there is illness. Yes, there is misery. But did the proposed causative agent lead to those symptoms? And is the proposed therapy going to alleviate the situation? And even better yet, get this, restore the person to health. So these are deeper questions that often are not asked. And because they're not asked, it allows the modern medical system to practice what amounts to voodoo, sorcery, superstition under the cloak of science. And that is the hazard. That is the hazard. So we now have a grip on what a disease is. Now, if you look up the definition of disease, you're not going to find this. In fact, I'll look it up right now. Definition. Here it is. A disorder that produces symptoms that affects a location and is not a direct of physical result of physical injury. So, in other words, all they're saying is that this is a disorder of structure or function that produces signs or symptoms. And it has to have a location to buy, like it's there. But it doesn't mention the test or objective measure. It doesn't mention the importance of cause and effect and the evidence that therapy is effective. So this is an important thing. So let's take a look at some, let's say, popular diseases. Yep. So let's take a look at popular diseases or big ones. Now, there's another thing we have to take a look at here is curing diseases. And the second category is when diseases are renamed. And so this is a hazard. So what we're looking at today is imaginary disease and renamed diseases. So we covered imaginary diseases, just basically, is when these things are absent. A renamed disease is when these things are identical for a previously known already existing disease. So if two conditions have the same symptoms, the same physical findings on exam, the same tests, then it's the same disease. It is the same disease. And you can go through cause and effect and evidence that therapy is effective. So 4 and 5 are not, in my mind, necessary. But if a disease has the same symptoms, the same physical findings, and the same objective test results, it's the same disease. All right. So let's take a look first at the imaginary diseases. And then we can take a look at the renamed diseases. Okay, so my favorite one is, of course, AIDS. AIDS, that's a pretty important one. So for AIDS, what are the symptoms? Answer, you can have a positive test for the virus and have no symptoms, no physical findings. And the test results do not vary with therapy. That's another trigger, another hot giveaway. So this alone lets you know that AIDS is an imaginary disease because it does not fit the criteria that were established, which distinguishes medicine from sorcery and voodoo. So with sorcery or voodoo, basically, the doctor says, you have it. And that means, well, you got it. That's it. You got it. It's like cooties. You got it. So people who have it, AIDS, well, or HIV, call it that, vary from no symptoms to lots of symptoms. So there's no correlation between having the label and having symptoms. Now, the other thing I didn't mention, which maybe I should, is immediacy. So if the disease is really a disease, then there should be negative effects from it pretty soon. Let's say, I'll be generous, within a year. Within a year, there should be some sign of this condition. And so with AIDS, they now have this postulating this situation where you get the virus and you get sick 20 years later. No, we've now entered into the field of voodoo and sorcery. Yes. Okay. So the important thing to understand for AIDS is there is no association between the test and the symptoms. And again, if there's no symptoms, there's no physical findings, no disease. That's it. Very simple. And so it makes no sense then for, this is why screening makes no sense. So if you then do a test and say, oh my God, we found something, you have a disease, and say, well, I feel perfectly fine, then first of all, you made an inappropriate visit to the doctor for certain sure. And second, again, there is no evidence that this test or finding is substantial. So it's not a disease. And even if we go to the dictionary definition of disease, which is a disorder that produces specific symptoms, it's not a disease. Not a disease. So you can just stop right there. So AIDS, it's not even a disease. It's imaginary, totally imaginary. Does that mean that people who have these rashes from AIDS and have these low white cell counts are not sick? Oh, no. It just means it's not AIDS. So we're not saying that someone who has symptoms and problems doesn't have them. What we're saying is it's not AIDS. All right. Now, with AIDS, well, if it's not AIDS, what is it? It's the same old thing, basically. It's malnutrition. It's a bad diet. It's poisoning, exposure to external chemicals. And that's pretty much it. That's the whole ball of wax. So now, what about hepatitis C? I love hepatitis C. Oh, AIDS. Another thing. The test for AIDS. It does not show the virus. So all the test shows is that the virus may have been present at some time. So it does not indicate that the virus is present there in the body at that time. So there is no proximal placing the virus at the scene of the crime, which is you have a person, they have symptoms, let's isolate and find and locate this organism that we are blaming and find it in the person's body. That has never, ever, ever been done for AIDS. All of the tests for AIDS are antibody tests or indirect tests. That's like walking into a hall of mirrors. You can literally dangle a picture and you'll see this picture all over the place. But that picture of the person is not the person. So what the HIV test shows, being an antibody test or even the antigen test, is a picture of the virus, not the virus. So since you've never established the presence of the virus in the person who supposedly has AIDS, then you can't establish that the virus causes the condition. So yes, people are sick, but is there a virus at the bottom of it? Answer is, scientifically speaking, absolutely not. It's just simply not there. So AIDS, imaginary. How do you know you have AIDS? You believe you have AIDS. Do you believe you have AIDS? You've got it. If you don't believe you have AIDS, you ain't got it. That's it. So you don't even need to go to the point of evidence that therapy is effective, since you don't even have a disease. It's very, that AIDS is very, very straightforward. It just simply does not exist. Since the virus doesn't exist, we can't say that there's a disease that it causes. Now, let's take a look, backtrack. Let's find some real diseases. That's a like, real diseases. My favorite real disease is strep throat. Let me see if I can upload something here. All right, so I have a box. Let me see if it'll give me a way to upload anything. And well, I don't see where I can upload anything during my discussion. Somebody knows how to do that. Send me a little message. Okay. Okay, so a strep throat. I don't have a good picture for you, so unfortunately. I mean, I have a good picture, I just don't know how to get it to you. So you know what I could do? Is I can send you a link, and then people who are more savvy than me can maybe take a screenshot and post it. That would be a thing to do. Okay. All right. Here you go. So if a organism is causing disease in the body, then there should be a big enough picture of it, or enough of those organisms should accumulate to the point where their accumulation becomes physically identifiable. So here's a link. Those of you... Why won't a copy-paste go into this? Let's see. Try it again. Oops. There we go. Okay, so somebody who's more knowledgeable than I am will find this and maybe copy-paste a picture of this. So this is a picture of strep actually on a culture being grown outside of the body. And since strep likes blood, it's grown on a blood auger plate. So, you can see, if you click the link, those of you either in Facebook or in the chat room, click the link, you can see that there's a picture of a round red plate, and that is human blood, and you can see there's some cloudy stuff. That is strep. You can touch it, taste it. It is there. Somehow, even though the AIDS virus supposedly grows in the blood, it cannot be grown outside the human body. How come? I don't know. So, these blood cultures, they take the blood and the culture plate and keep it at body temperature and give it everything it needs, the amount of oxygen it needs, the amount of heat it needs, everything so it can grow. And you can see the strep grows very nicely. This has never been done for the AIDS virus. And this has never been done for anyone accused of having the AIDS virus. So for some reason, it's not possible to take the person's blood, put it on an auger, give it all the stuff it needs to grow, and boom, you get a thick culture of the virus. And it seems to me, I mean, why not? You can culture it for 3, 5, 10, 30 days, but never been done. Again, evidence just does not exist. Another picture of strep is when something is I'll just say, big enough and bad enough to cause disease in the body. There are physical findings. And let's take a look. This is one I really like. Is strep throat. The tonsils are swollen. You can look at them. They're covered with pus. Doctor says open wide and say, ah. Exactly. With AIDS, no such thing. So you can't press, poke, or point, where is this disease? And it cannot be even located by physical findings. So it flunks the symptoms test, flunks the physical finding test, and flunks the objective measure test. And since you don't have symptoms, physical findings, or test results, you can't establish cause and effect between a virus that can't be identified. Hepatitis C, ditto. I love hepatitis C because, first of all, can't identify the virus. Now, back in the old days, it was a long time ago, 1980-something, when I was in medical school, it was called non-A, non-B. What did that mean? We could measure hepatitis A, we could measure hepatitis B, but all the other things that cause the liver to malfunction and turn yellow, we can't identify them, so we'll just say, well, it's not A, it's not B, but the liver's not happy. So when we come back, we'll talk more about hepatitis C being imaginary.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health, and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Give such delight. We all leave before morning light.
Hello, welcome back to Healing with Dr. Dance, and we're talking about imaginary diseases, and you can only have them if you believe. If you believe. So, Dr. Hepatitis C, how strong is your faith? Do you believe? And these diseases are awesome because all they are is a measure of your faith in your belief. And if you will go to the doctor and get tested for these diseases, if you swallow those pills, you believe. It is more compelling than a Christian taking that wafer on communion or whatever, that wafer and wine, yes. Not to say that you should not take wafer and wine, but you should know that you're taking wafer and wine. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying anyone should not believe. But you should realize that that's what you're doing, that you are believing. And then you can choose to believe or not believe. I personally think you're better off going to church, believing whatever your religion is, praying at your religious structure, whatever it might be, and that's going to get you a much better outcome than believing at this religious shrine that we are discussing today. Okay. Hepatitis C. Hepatitis C, the only test is an antibody test. And the, again, virus never identified. So, for example, I'm looking at a screen right now. All right. That's actually true, that I am looking at a screen. And my reaction to that could be shock, like, oh, that's an antibody reaction. That's an antibody. So when you measure an antibody, you are measuring the body's reaction. You're not measuring what it's reacting to, because quite frankly, you really don't know. And if you have any question about this, Google hepatitis C test, and space cross-reactivity. I got to do that for you. My favorite thing to do. Hepatitis. Whoops. What's cross-reactivity? That means, what else could it be? So when you have a test that's positive, does that test mean that that disease exists and only that disease? That's the kind of test you want. You want a test that says, is this disease and only this disease? And that's what a strep test does, a strep culture does. Don't do a stress antibody test, ELISA test. No. That has an accuracy of, at best, 75%. But let's just take a look at this. Uh-oh, this is Healthline. This is a source that believes what doctors believe. And this is shocking. And this is what you need to know, but what your doctor won't tell you. Is that cross-reactivity values hepatitis C infection. And in other words, it will react and tell you that you have hepatitis C when that's not really what it is. So this is a National Library of Medicine. Let's see what they say. So the vast majority of cases of viral hepatitis are due to hepatitis A through E. But it could be anything else. It could be hepatitis herpes. It could be varicella, which is measles. And so the results are the false positives could be cytomegalovirus. It could be past infections. Of any and everything. So this test is not what we call specific. It doesn't turn positive for hepatitis C and only hepatitis C. And so what that tells you then, you've got unreliable tests. Like, so the test does not detect the virus. It only detects your body's reaction to something. And you need to realize that this is what it's being tested for. And so if you're getting a test for something called shock and surprise, then that doesn't mean that you have hepatitis C. And so hepatitis C, for most people, there's no symptoms, no physical findings, no objective measure. None. And so it literally is a test of faith. When your doctor says, you have hepatitis C, and he pats you on the head, it's the same as the priest laying on hands and making a pronouncement. I'm not saying your priest is not doing the right thing, but what I am saying is when you believe you have hepatitis C, you are choosing the medical industrial complex to be your priest. And so I just think you need to clearly know that that is what you're, that's what you're testing for. All right, so hepatitis C, totally imaginary. Zika, I love Zika. Now, Zika and Ebola are different. So we've done hepatitis C, got AIDS. Another one, let's just say Jakob Creutzfeldt disease, or even better, mad cow disease. Okay, first of all, mad cow disease. This is caused by a prion, which is an organism that's believed to infect the brain and cause Alzheimer's and death. It affects cows and can be transmitted to people by eating cow brain. Only eating cow brain. This is very impressive. You cannot get it by eating cow blood or cow meat. So if you have an organism in the brain that is of such a magnitude that it can destroy the brain, it would be circulating in the blood, even with the blood-brain barrier, because it had to get to the brain somehow, right? So if you can eat cow brain, and its organism then enters your body and gets digested, is absorbed into the blood, and makes its way back to your brain, and then makes your brain fail or become destroyed, then obviously it went through the blood, right? So this organism, by the time it's rotted your brain out, should be detectable in your blood. But guess what? It's not. And if you go back and look at the picture of strep, and you see this cloudy junk on a petri dish, that is literally at least how much of this organism, disease-causing organism, needs to be in your body. Because quite frankly, if there's not even enough of it to make a pimple, then you have to ask yourself, why didn't my immune system gather up all this stuff and put it on my skin to make a pimple where it couldn't harm me? There is a question, right? And your immune system is at least that bright. I mean, our immune systems are actually brighter than we are. Absolutely, yes, they are. So mad cow disease, again, you're dealing with an organism that has not ever been identified in any of its victims, number one. Number two is this organism has never been grown outside the body, at 98.6. They say, oh, can't grow outside the body. Well, Jesus Christ, just grind up some human brain from a cadaver, put it in a culture plate, and see if something grows from an infected individual. How about that? Nah, never done. And that's how we know it's imaginary. And so, let's just see if we have a blood test for that yet. Blood test for mad cow disease. There is a new blood test. Hallelujah. Okay, boom, 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 boom. Oh, now they're going to say, they say you can get a meat, get it from eating a meat. Meat from the animal. Okay, so you can get it from eating the flesh. All right, let's upgrade. It's difficult to diagnose the condition because up till now there was no blood test. So now there's a new blood test. Now let's see if they can find this blood test. So they're saying this disease is probably transmissible. Probably? What do you mean probably? This is science. They know probable nothing. Either it is or it isn't. I mean, let's get to the bottom of this. But again, that's another thing when you are dealing with an imaginary disease is everything the doctors mentioned, everything the doctors taught about it is probable. We think so. Maybe. It seems. And that's the talk of imagination, belief, and voodoo. And then what you got to figure out then, if we're talking about belief, okay, so today in a journal, French researchers report they have created a blood test. So the test is not yet available. All right, again, lack of a test, a dead giveaway. Worldwide, 220 cases have been reported. Another dead giveaway. It's a human disease, and among 8 billion people, only 220 infected? Okay. So, mad cow disease, imaginary. Now, when I say imaginary, what I'm saying is that this prion causing the disease is what's imaginary. Are people sick? Yes. Is it the prion? No. And so, again, this is the case with mad cow disease, AIDS, hepatitis C. But we have other diseases that are simply renamed. And what are these diseases? Zika, Ebola, dengue, yellow fever are just simply renamed diseases. These are my favorite. These are ones I've looked into. So, let's see. Zika and Ebola. Let's Zika, Ebola, and Lyme. Those are three different categories. So let's just pick one category, and we'll say Lyme. Lyme is the same renamed disease as lupus, as rheumatoid arthritis, Now, how do we know that? Because Lyme, lupus, and rheumatoid arthritis all have the same symptoms. They all have the same physical findings. In terms of when the doctor examines these three individuals, identical. And the tests. First of all, they all have antibody tests. Lyme, lupus, rheumatoid arthritis, they all have antibody tests. In all of them, the causative organism is never, ever, ever identified and isolate it in any of the tests your doctor uses. Now, if you go to an alternative doctor, he'll tell you, I found the spirochete that causes Lyme. And maybe he has, but guess what? That test is not certified or approved by the FDA. So Lyme, lupus, rheumatoid arthritis, all identical symptoms, physical findings. But guess what else they have in common? They all have false positive syphilis tests. Yep, false positive syphilis test. And. They all, when you look under the scope, microscope, you can actually see spirochetes. In fact, in Lyme, they couldn't keep the whole thing secret, so they said, well, it's caused by a spirochete. The giveaway with Lyme disease, of course, is if you screen a whole population of people and just give them a Lyme test, it doesn't matter which one you pick, most people will simply not have any symptoms. So there's no correlation then between the test and the symptoms. This lets you know that the test is bogus and that there's not a causative effect between the test and the Lyme disease. However, in fact, the symptoms are identical to lupus. Physical findings are identical to lupus. And not lupus, but syphilis. Even syphilis. Now, syphilis, if you are syphilitic, if you have a baby, that baby will have a congenital syndrome. Guess what? When you have a baby and you have Lyme or lupus, your babies have a syndrome identical to the syphilis syndrome. So these Lyme, lupus, rheumatoid arthritis are simply renamed illnesses. What about Zika? Zika, dengue, and yellow fever. We got to just toss those in the same bucket. Now, I didn't realize this until I started researching Zika. And so when I researched Zika, of course, hey, being a doctor, what are the symptoms? Answer, variable, we don't know, kind of none. All right, maybe some diarrhea. Okay, physical findings, none. Test, oh boy, it's an antibody test. There is a red flag antibody test. So I said, okay, well, what's the cross-reactivity of a Zika test? So cross-reactivity means what is another thing you could have that will cause a Zika test to be positive? Answer, yellow fever or dengue or malaria. So yellow fever, Zika, and dengue, and malaria will have the same positive test. And so I said, well, that's ridiculous. Well, let's see if we can't separate this out. I mean, if you get a positive Zika test, can you send it to a special government lab that can distinguish whether it's really dengue or yellow fever or malaria or Zika? The answer to that inquiry was no. There is no test that is positive for Zika and negative for dengue. Positive for Zika and negative for yellow fever. Positive for Zika and negative for malaria. So the test for Zika, dengue, yellow fever, malaria, identical. Well, let's back up then. What are the symptoms? The symptoms for all four of these diseases are identical. Physical findings, identical. So what are they? Same disease renamed. And this happens a lot. Whenever modern medicine is under pressure to show a disease is cured, it just renames it. Rename, it's the name game. And so, but as even Shakespeare said, a rose by any other name is still a rose. And that was before microscopes and scientific tests. Even Shakespeare knew. And so this is what in large part is going on, is we have simply diseases being renamed, and it's called new. But if you mention malaria and you let on that it wasn't really cured, just renamed, then a lot of awful things would happen. Tourism would dry up. Like, I have never been to the continent of Africa because of my fear of malaria. But I'm living in a country that has dengue. So we'll be back in a minute. We'll talk more about these renamed seasons.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Doctor, doctor, this is how I feel. Fever, breathe your love on me.
Hi, this is Dr. Daniels. Welcome back to Healing with Dr. Daniels. Okay. So we're talking about these imaginary diseases. And again, you only have these diseases if you believe. Now, you may be physically ill. I got that. But it is not these diseases that are causing it. So we're talking now about renamed diseases. That means, yes, you have a condition, but it's actually a previously identified disease. And the reason it's being renamed is because modern medicine has no cure and no treatment for it. And so it doesn't make sense then to seek therapy for a condition that modern medicine over a period of 20, 50, 200 years has been unable to positively treat. They failed. And so they just rename it. Okay, so we're talking about Zika, dengue, yellow fever, and malaria. All of these have the same tests and the same symptoms and the same disease. And so, as I said, I moved to this country because, oh, thank God, there's no malaria. But, of course, there's dengue. And I understand there's some yellow fever. So I've been here 10 years, and as you can imagine, I've been bitten by hundreds of mosquitoes. So I'm sure I must have picked up malaria somewhere. But I did not suffer with it. And so if you look up malaria, you'll find that most people who are healthy and good condition, excellent immune systems, they have no problem whatever from malaria. Shocking, isn't it? And the treatment for malaria that is effective, just in case you want effective therapy, will be quinine. And you can actually buy the bark online, boil it, and drink it. So this is important to understand, that these are simply diseases that are renamed. And once you realize they're renamed, then you can go back to the first name. So the first name would be malaria. And so if you have Zika, dengue, yellow fever, it's like, okay, as David Goggins would say, roger that, and go and see, well, how's that going? How's malaria therapy working? Oh, it's not? Well, maybe we need to try something else. So don't be interested, intrigued, or too quick to jump on the bandwagon of so-called new diseases. You want to ask two questions. One, what's the test? Two, what's the cross-reactivity? In other words, if my test is positive for that disease, what else could it be? And you can find that online. Dr. Google will tell you that. But again, the word cross-reactivity is a medical term most people are not familiar with. And so they don't ever ask, what's the cross-reactivity of this test? Or, better yet, what's the false positive? What's the differential diagnosis? These are all technical medical jargon that the average person is not familiar with, does not use. And so when they ask Google shows up nothing, empty. Why? Because they didn't use the terminology of the industry. So the industry, which would be doctors, scientists, whatever, they know that these tests are totally unreliable, would be the word. Totally unreliable. Oh, we have a commercial. We'll check back after the commercial.
I saw you there, just standing there, and I thought I was only dreaming, yeah. I kissed you then, and then once again.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75% dandruff. Almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network.